tiny little step that we can take during this time. So during the month of January, please wear your mask for worship. If you forget one at home, sometimes I forget mine at home, we'll have a box right in the foyer area as you walk in. Pick one up and use that as you come for worship so we can all continue to gather in the sanctuary for worship during this season. I am excited about worship this day. I'm not just excited because I don't have to preach today. I'm excited about that too. And all God's people said, amen. I am excited because Reverend Jonathan Collins is with us this morning. Jonathan is pastor at Chester First United Methodist Church in Chester, West Virginia. This is not the first time he's been in our pulpit, so I'm not going to give him a long introduction, but we all know him as Gay's son. That's how we know him. Gay Collins, the music minister's son, is with us this day. It's great that he's able to join us in worship this morning, and I look forward to what God has laid on his heart to share with us this day. But it's also good to welcome one of our musicians, our guest musician with us, Barry Carroll Jr. is with us today. He'll be sharing his gift of music with us on soprano saxophone, and the whole Carroll family will be singing a little bit later. Amy, it's good to have you with us as well this morning for worship this day. But it is good to gather in the Lord's house this morning for a special day of worship. Let's celebrate the Christmas season as we stand and sing our congregational call to worship, Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's stand and sing this morning. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised us up for his people, a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. That's why we gather here this day, to praise the Lord with everything that we give to him, our words, our songs, our thoughts, our actions. Let us praise the Lord this day. Let us pray. Merciful God, in Christ you have come among us and we rejoice. Yet still the world groans in hope of redemption. Open our hearts to hear you speaking today in and through your word. By your Spirit, give us grace so that we deny neither the sufferings that remain nor the hope that you give us. God of peace, teach us to sorrow, not as those without hope, but as people who remember the grace that comes in Jesus. Help us remember that the first act of worship offered to the newborn baby was that of giving. Lead us to give ourselves to Christ during this Christmas season. We lift this prayer in the name of the one who came and changed the world, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing three carols right in a row. We won't stop in between. And I hope you enjoy singing these carols. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord.
Thank you. that you would remind us that that is a reason to rejoice year-long. We pray that as we give back just a portion of what you've given us, that it can be used to spread that rejoicing through this world. That it's not something we keep to ourselves, that it's something that we gladly share. We thank you for the birth of your Son that makes us all brothers and sisters in him. So I thank you for my family. In your name we pray. Amen.
God sent his Son.
God in the beginning. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you would pray. So, Heavenly Father, may the meditation of my heart and the move of your Spirit speak through me. May you open our hearts, our ears, our minds, our eyes to receive all that you have for us this evening, this morning. Be with us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So unlike David, I didn't get the Sunday off like I thought I might have. And in my head, it's still Christmas Eve. That's why I said evening just now in my prayer. But when I say the word home, what comes to mind? What constitutes a home? What are homes made of? Because if I'm being honest, the one word that I would associate with our home growing up, I don't know if my mom would agree or not. And honestly, I want to just not preach, but tell you about who she is as a person. The stories I could tell that may or may not change your feelings about her is laughter. It's joy. And when thinking about this, I thought it would be fitting to start with a couple of jokes. And I'm telling you now, off the top, they're dad jokes, so they're not good. But hopefully you'll get a chuckle out of a couple. First one being this: what do Santa's elves drive? It's a minivan. Not good jokes. What is the Christmas tree's favorite candy? Ornaments. Got a couple more. What do you call a cat sitting on a beach on Christmas Eve? No. Sandy. And what do you call an obnoxious reindeer? Rude. At Christmas, this time of year, it's a time to love, to reflect, to think about the hope, joy, love, and peace that the season of Advent has really prepared us for. Christmas is a time to come home, for all of us to come together and spend time with one another. But my question for you is this: how do you get not just a Christian home or a Christmas home, but what does home in eternity look like? If I'm being honest, my route back, I don't know how far everyone's driven for Christmas. I'll take country roads to I-40, to Route 52, to I-74, I-77, Route 19 to I-79, and then country roads will lead me home. A John Denver reference for a West Virginian. What I hope to show you this morning, in finding our way home for Christmas, there's really three simple questions we need to ask and hopefully answer. First one being this: where is home? Second, can you see it? And the third, do you believe it? So where is home? And if I'm being completely honest, when I think of a question like where is home, and starting in the Gospel of John, it's not a very easy one to begin with. Because unlike Matthew, who starts with Jesus' genealogy, kind of setting the framework for what Christ's life is and where he comes from, or the Gospel of Luke, who gives us the nativity story, John doesn't start there. The first words of John is in the beginning, which should sound somewhat familiar to us who have studied Scripture or read our Bibles, because that's exactly how Scripture begins. In the beginning. And from the beginning, what I hope you see is this: Jesus knew where as Brian said, there's a lot we can gripe about, that we can watch and really feel down about going home right now. But do we have that hope of an eternal light shining on us so that we can see what's ahead? Growing up, my family, we would frequent places like Hilton Head or Myrtle Beach specifically. And one thing, if you know anything about coastal regions, are lighthouses. And I'd be lying if I said I climbed every lighthouse I saw. Because I know for a fact me and a friend started one time, got halfway up, realized this isn't worth it, and started back down. That's really an idea of my life. Is it worth it or not? Am I going to go up and put myself in physical conditions? Probably not. But lighthouses historically serve two purposes. One, they warn ships of a rocky coastline or shallow water so they don't get too close to get stuck. Two, they served in harbors to either guide ships in or leave ships out so that they could see their way at night. And I think that's a prime example of what Christ does for us. Verse 6 through 9, John continues. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. True light that gives light to everyone was John the Baptist served to warn humanity of the coming Messiah, to repent, to be ready that he is coming. And this light came, shown for all humanity what living a morally good Christian life is, to follow me, as he would tell his disciples and instruct them. If we were to jump to John chapter 14, verse 6, you would see this, where Christ calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. He's a light that all can see, follow, be led by. And maybe traveling, you've heard the slogan growing up, "We'll leave the light on for you." Motel 6. I think Christ is saying something very similar to that today. "I leave my light on for you. Can you see it?" Third final question is this. Do you believe it? See, it's one thing to see, but it's a completely another thing to believe. And during this time of year, I don't think it's uncommon to see that word really plastered everywhere. Believe. But what is it that we believe in during December, during Christmas? Do we believe in the good of humanity, that during this time of year, if 11 months are complete chaos, maybe this one will do good for one another? Believe in science and what it's telling us about things going on around us? Do we believe what our parents tell us as we grow up, our grandparents, as you tell your grandkids? We believe in love that we have for each other, what our leaders and pastors tell us. We believe. Or do we believe maybe in the magic of Christmas? It is a magical time of year. A lot of things we can place our hope, our trust, our belief in. But what if I say this? Do you believe in Jesus? Why does a question like that make people get so offensive? Walls come up. See, as John tells us in John 1, though the Word was with God from the beginning, Jesus was with God, present in creation. He came, walked physically for 33 years. People saw this life that he talks about. Witnessed firsthand the miracles that he was doing. We could go through John and I could show you these miracles that he performs. But he's not treated like a Messiah, instead like an outcast, a stranger. And I think Christmas, it's really a perfect time for us to reflect on how do we treat each other during this time of year. And not just this time of year, but really throughout the whole year. Are we treating others with love, with respect? Do we listen to what they have to say, or are we treating others like a stranger, like an outcast? Can we see what they're saying, and do we believe in the good of them? Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says this. Paul says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." So though Jesus puts on human flesh, comes to dwell with us, which that word there in verse 14 literally means tabernacle or to pitch a tent, Christ came to stay for 33 years. We go We have to